Today in Hong Kong, the government formally withdrew the extradition treaty that sparked street protests this spring that grew and deepened over the summer and early fall. It's not going to end the demonstrations, which are now a feature of life in the city every weekend. Frank Ching is a syndicated columnist who's lived in Hong Kong since 1984. He opened the Wall Street Journal's bureau in Beijing back in 1979, making him one of the first four American newspaper reporters to be based in that city since before the Communist Revolution. He also reported for the New York Times and the Far Eastern Economic Review. He was just in Honolulu, where he spoke at this month's China seminar at the East-West Center. He also made some time to stop by our studios to talk about life in Hong Kong these days, starting with what he feels is one important fact to consider about the protests.
Nobody has been killed, but I think that there's a grave danger that any day somebody could be killed, and then you'd have another escalation, which would make things harder to control. As it is, it's very hard for the Hong Kong police to contain these riots. There are only 30,000, 31,000 people in the police force, and the protesters outnumber them greatly. Like when Carrie Lam announces anti-mask law.
Right.
I'm sure they expected that when it came into effect at midnight, a lot of people would come out in defiance and wear masks. And that happened all across Hong Kong. But there weren't policemen all across Hong Kong able to make these arrests. The government made a decision and then was not able to enforce it because it doesn't have the manpower. There are not enough policemen to do this job. And at bottom, this is not a police problem. This is a political issue that the government is not handling properly. It's just letting the police handle this political problem and politicizing the police and making relationship between the public and the police very bad. Now, a lot of people now hate the police.
And violence in the street complicates the politics of the situation as well.
Yes, it does. Uh-huh. And I think that it's true that there have been cases of police abuse of power, and there is a almost universal demand for an independent investigation by a judge or a group of judges. And Carrie Lam simply would not accept this.
When you look at what is a way out of this, what is a peaceful exit?
And it's hard to see how this is going to end. I mean, if the numbers continue to drop and the police manage to regain control, the government can then restore order in Hong Kong. Seems like this is going to be a very long, drawn-out process, especially because of the great resentment that so many people have now against the police. I think that this is very difficult for the police to do, and I think Carrie Lam may find that the police are not capable of doing this. Everybody, the Chinese government, the Hong Kong chief executive, the Hong Kong police, they all want this to be contained within Hong Kong. But in the end, this may not be possible, and the Hong Kong government may call on China for help, in which case the PLA and most likely the People's Armed Police will be deployed in Hong Kong. But then that will put a lot of the protesters in jail, and a lot more soldiers than there are policemen, potentially. I mean, China can deploy a lot of troops into Hong Kong. But then what do you do after that?
And an incident like that would change the very nature of Hong Kong itself to the world.
How would the world view Hong Kong after that? Mm. That's a very serious problem. I think that there is also a possible bright side to look at, which is, I think the Hong Kong government has learned a lesson. They cannot operate as a government without taking account of public opinion, like Carrie Lam has done. And the Chinese government, I think, should also learn. Under the Basic Law, the chief executive is accountable to both the Chinese government and the people of Hong Kong. So I think that this ought to teach China a lesson. It is not enough for China to trust the chief executive. The people of Hong Kong also have to trust the chief executive.
But the phrase with China, internal matter,
yeah,
is something that is just such a bright, shining line,
yeah,
that is not crossed.
But Hong Kong is part of the internal situation in China. The people of Hong Kong are part of the
right.
Chinese people.
Right.
So the selection of a chief executive involves the people of Hong Kong, not outsiders,
right,
but the people of Hong Kong. What I'm saying is that China should realize that it is not enough for a chief executive to be trusted by China. She has to be trusted by the people of Hong Kong too.
You know, meanwhile, on the private sector side, Hong Kong, even apart from the protests, was facing challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tourism has dropped like
yeah.
a rock,
yeah.
Economic slowing. What do you see happening there, and how important is that to Hong Kong's future?
Well, potentially it could be disastrous if the international community thinks that Hong Kong no longer has the qualities required of an international financial center, then Hong Kong cannot operate. And I don't think China wants that, because China benefits from that. China has been talking about turning Shanghai into an international financial center, but it hasn't happened. I don't see it happening in the near future. The Chinese currency remains unconvertible. So I think that China needs Hong Kong. Maybe it doesn't need Hong Kong as much as it did 20-some years ago, but it still needs Hong Kong. You know, Deng Xiaoping, what he said in 1979 to the Hong Kong governor on his first visit to Beijing was, investors should set their hearts at ease. So I think investors, foreign investors, should be, their situation should be very carefully considered by the Chinese government. Because once they think that Hong Kong cannot be trusted anymore to function as an international financial center, Hong Kong's whole purpose is lost. It's all gone.
For someone watching developments outside of Hong Kong, what is important to look for, to watch for?
At some point, somebody has to make a move, indicate a readiness to negotiate. And so far, it seems to me the Hong Kong government lacks the authority to negotiate, and that Beijing would not allow it to make any concessions. If you can't make any concessions, you cannot negotiate. I think Carrie Lam has been saying she wants to have a dialogue with people. She's had one session so far. If the dialogues should continue and there's some progress, that is, people actually speak their minds at these sessions and the chief executive takes it in and accepts that they are right, they have a point, and she has to change the way she's operating, and China has to give her that room to change, then maybe there's some hope. And I think that the rhetoric from Beijing is also very important. So far, the rhetoric from Beijing has been no concessions, no yielding of anything, just being tough, and saying that they have confidence in the chief executive and the Hong Kong police, like they expect the Hong Kong police to solve the problem. I think that if they keep taking that unyielding position, it's very difficult to expect any improvement. So there has to be some indication of a willingness to change, to engage.
Thanks very much, Frank.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Appreciate the time. Frank Chang is a syndicated columnist. He opened the Wall Street Journal's Bureau in Beijing in 1979 when the U.S. and China established diplomatic relations. He's also been on staff at the New York Times and the Far Eastern Economic Review, and he's lived in Hong Kong since the early 1980s.